League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bank Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on the Press Box. The hero we all need is Nick Sciarra. I'm his partner, Joel Blank. We are here for the next 3 hours. A lot of times we're here for a lot more than that on social media and such. But the good thing is that we are a team. We are together at all times, and we are friends. Therefore, you are our friends because you are boxers. And if you come out swinging or you just want to jump in the ring, we've got time for you as we get into Houston sports and stuff. H-Town, B-Town, and all the other surrounding towns. We love having some fun on this program and keeping it real when we have to. Nicholas? How are you?
Doing great, man. Had a great weekend. How was yours, sir?
It was a good weekend. It was a very tough day in the Blank household. I'm curious for the parents out there. Are you for or against allowing your children at a certain age to go visit relatives for extended periods of time?
Why not?
I am with you on that, and I would never hold back. Now, Lisa's parents are in California, and also Lisa's brother. They have three kids. They get along swimmingly with our kids. So the grandma and Taylor left today, and they're taking, grandma's flying Taylor back to California for 10 days to 2 weeks, and then they're going to drive her back in an RV.
That's kind of cool.
It's just the adjustment for me. Like, I spend so much time with my kids, and all of a sudden, like, I don't want to pop Taylor's bubble because she's excited. So I'm like, I'm not going to let her know that, like, until the plane lands, I'll be concerned.
I feel like you've been through this before, but only Maddie wasn't born yet.
That's the other thing. Maddie, like, is Taylor's shadow. Yeah. And so Maddie is, like, when she comes home from school today, is going to be like, Tete, Tete, we're Tete.
Uh-oh.
And when she doesn't find Tete, I don't know what's going to happen.
She's going to flip.
But it's, you know, it's weird because each kid is different. So, like, we had, when we lost one of our dogs, we were debating, like, telling Taylor, hey, he died. But we didn't say anything. It took Taylor over a month and a half to realize he was no longer around. Which is also a sign we had too many dogs.
For real.
Right?
But maybe it was a good thing because then she didn't remember and she didn't have to deal with heartbreak or anything like that. Right. So that's a good thing.
And then we could just say, hey, he got sick. And so, you know, he eventually passed away. But this one, with the shoe on the other foot, I think Maddie's going to notice, and it's just a matter of, am I going to be like the princess of the household now, and I'm just going to be loving it, or am I going to be missing Big Sis?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. That's an interesting time for you.
But yeah, I'm like, okay. Well,
but you don't have to watch kids for a while.
Not kids, but
I mean,
kid.
One kid.
I still have kid.
Word. But you don't have to watch kids. Just
true.
A kid.
True.
Which is, you know.
So it'll be interesting, but obviously, and Lisa is not going to handle this whole thing very well because that's her little sidekick as well. So she's going to be like, all of a sudden it hit me. I was just talking to her on the way here, and she goes, it just hit me. Like, what am I going to do without Tay? And I'm like, well, I mean.
It'll be hard, but she'll be all right. She'll get through it. The Astros will be all right, too, despite going 1-2 in their last three games.
Split with the Tigers. AJ Hinch has their number. It's weird.
And your boy, Brooks Raley.
Yeah, you know what? And I'm interested if you guys see the eye test that I see. And I was just talking to Charlie, who agreed with me. But you get ass clowns in all forms of life, and especially on social media. But you know what? We're all in it for the same purpose. We're all hoping that the Astros win it all. We're all big fans. So I just tweeted out yesterday, hey, look, I wish Dusty had a different security blanket than continuing go to Raley. Right. And most people were in agreement with me and they would use their comments and we could go back and forth. That's fine. Well, some ass clown decides to just go bad take and then start throwing numbers at me like his spin rate and his this and his that. I go, his ERA has been ballooning at almost 10 a couple weeks ago, and it took how many good outings to get it around 6? Don't tell me ERA is an overblown stat. Well, you know what else is overblown? When we can have a sports discussion until you tell me my take sucks and I should go to basketball.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad take at all. And in that particular game, I think you can also make the argument that he left Javier in there a little bit too long. And then
he was struggling a little bit.
And then, I mean, you can make the argument maybe it was the right move to leave him in there. But then when Brooks Raley came in, it was a winnable game, and that's why it's so unfortunate. And the fact that they only lost by one in that particular game, I think, bothers a lot of people. But I think they were on pace. Like those 10 games I was telling you about, they're fine. It is 2 games. They could have tied that winning streak. I know, you know, the Astros missed out on that. But for the most part, they're still a really good team. And I saw somebody tweet out, like, all the categories they lead in. It's just ridiculous from an offensive standpoint.
The only thing that really bothered me about the weekend was the 7-game doubleheaders. It's just like you forget how important those last 6-plus outs are, especially if you're like the Astros dealing with a 1-run game or a tight situation where you need that third time around for the order. You think that you could be in a good position, and then you realize, oh, it's a 7-inning game, and especially because there were pitchers' duels, it just flies by. And so I guess baseball gets what they want, short game times and not a lot of, you know, extra effort exerted by pitchers and or position players. But that kind of factored in and that sucked. But at the end of the day, when you look at it, I mean, the Astros going into the series had the best record in the American League and were just on the outskirts of the Giants for the best record in baseball. And they're still flirting with it. So there's nothing wrong with anything that happened this weekend. It's just some people don't like losing to A.J. Hinch. And it's tougher.
Or teams you're supposed to be beating. That's what it is.
Thing. Yeah, and I was going to say, that's the other thing. When you know that, when you look at it at the end of the day, you know, you lost, you got swept by the Rangers, but then since then you've hammered them again and you know that you're going to win the season series, but you lost the season series to the Detroit Tigers. That's one that you don't want coming down the stretch in September and being a game away from either best record or, you know, the division, God help you, or in a situation where you need every win and you look back and go, well, damn, we got hammered by the Tigers this year.
Yeah. And look, I love A.J. Hinch, and I don't want to take any credit for him, but I don't think it's a situation where, like, A.J. Hinch's knowledge is absolutely killing this team when they play the Tigers. I'm pretty sure he's using old knowledge that he had when he was the manager and probably utilizing it for the Tigers, this Tigers roster, but I don't think it's a situation where he just has so much information. I just think they caught him at the right time and they didn't have the right games. And there's some decisions that you can question by Dusty. You can always question a decision here or there. For the most part, I appreciate what he does. Maybe he should embrace analytics a little bit more. But for the most part, I like his decisions. And there's always one or two that you can question. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm still very comfortable with this team. Just keep an eye out for that Athletics team and make sure they I'm hoping they can go on some sort of losing streak, but it doesn't look like it anytime. Like a long losing streak. Not one or two games, but like a longer losing streak.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you touched on it. I really believe that there's a school of fans and baseball people that think, leave Javier in for that last out and then go to your pen if you have to go to your pen. Raley came in, gave up the bloop hit, tie ball game. Then he was okay after that, but obviously they lose the game. But other than that, you're right. I mean, and every manager, you can nitpick here or there, but they always say, you know, your manager's good for a couple of wins a year. I would put that on Hinch, the fact that he had the guts to put the squeeze on, and it wasn't a suicide squeeze. It was almost a safety squeeze. The runner didn't start till the bunt went down. Everything happened the right way,
right,
and you lose the ballgame. But at the end of the day, it doesn't take anything away from the fact that this team has been on one hell of a tear.
But do not call it a suicide squeeze if it's not a suicide squeeze.
Correct. That's absolutely right.
Because baseball dorks get very unhappy with that.
Well, then just don't let baseball dorks get in front of a keyboard then, because then it can get
dicey. It can get pretty ugly.
Yeah. And so as you were kind of loosely referring to, then I got into it with a few people on Twitter that, you know, some guy comes to the Ass Clown's defense and decides that because I'm a Packer fan, he's going to make homophobic slurs about the team and what that associates with me.
Homophobic slurs.
Yeah. You know, because it's the Packers. So then he has to integrate the fudge and then make assumptions and do all these things. And then I said, well, you know, I just shamed the hell out of him. And I said, you know, when I go to bed and tuck my kids in tonight, I will pray for you. And I hope that whether you have a husband or a wife or anybody in a hobby, that maybe you can find some way to move on with your life. And he mentions that he has a dog named Tater. And he likes to...
Tater.
And his big deal is he likes to go at soft serve guys on Twitter like me. Well, if you can equate everything to food, because that's your deal, then you go have at it, big dog. But we're just talking baseball. That's all we're doing. We're all in it for the H. That's what we're doing. So we're in it for the H, and we're going to do two. Nick's here, I'm here, y'all are here. So for the next 3 hours, let's chop it up. Let's cut some rugs. Let's dance. Good music coming in and out. Talking about a whole lot of things. Got NBA playoffs. Got baseball again tonight at Zach Greinke. He's on the hill. And I can't do that anymore, Nick, because it's going to annoy me. And, of course, it involves you. HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Calls and texts, otherwise Twitch and Twitter. Nick and Joel, Press Box, ESPN.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, Nick, I don't know that we can... We got to figure this out. But I was so tempted to send this to you this weekend with a really obnoxious note with it. And then Lisa forgot to say. So, you know, Lisa works with a lot of different rescue groups and people that do all these different things, obviously, for people and dogs and other things.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you can't do that to me. Like, I'm in the middle of six things in the house, and I'm walking through the kitchen. She goes, babe, look at this. And I look, and I kind of just go back to keep doing it. I go, what the hell? Did I? And I look. Someone was in... one of the neighborhoods in Houston, and they were looking to help some folks. And they turned a corner, and there was a woman in her yard showering on the front lawn.
No. Mm-hmm. She was on something, clearly.
I don't know.
Had to be.
But I was going to text you and say, Nick, the least you could do after she spent the night was let her use your shower. So... And then she forgot to send me the picture. And I'm like, I need that picture. I need that picture.
That would have been
for
funny.
Nick.
What the hell is she doing taking a shower in the front yard? What is going on?
I really don't. I know it's hot out there. Okay.
Yeah, but still.
I think we all have options.
And these, if you're down here in Houston, I mean, you open the water hose. The first 10 seconds of the water flowing is so hot because it's so, the sun is just burning. You could burn yourself with some of the water, like, it's like when I open my water hose, like, sometimes the first, like, I don't know, like, the half a gallon of water is just super hot. It's been super hot, dude. I was supposed to do some things outdoors, and I just canceled all of it. Like, I could not. It's getting to the point where I'm going outside to start. I don't have my old car had remote start, and I loved it.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point where I'm going outside and I'm starting the AC before and I'm letting it run a little bit before I hop in the car. It's getting to that point. That's how hot I am. It is just burning hot.
Taylor's going to Palm Springs where it's 117 today.
Oh, man.
However, she's like, oh, I haven't really dealt with the heat. I'm looking forward to it. I go, wait a minute, time out, babe. You deal with the heat every day. And then grandma says, well, it's a different kind of heat down here. At least your air conditioner works the minute you turn the car on. There, it's such an intense heat that it takes 5 minutes of driving on no matter how new your car is.
Really?
Before the air kicks in.
I mean,
in.
117.
I didn't even realize that.
117 is ridiculous.
That's desert heat.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even want to touch my steering wheel in the event that it's 117 degrees. But yeah.
It's supposed to rain all week, which cools it down to 75 or 80. But it's also a very quick reminder, if I didn't remind myself and check them, that I may need some tires. I was coming back from the gym from playing hoops Saturday morning on 59, and you know how 59, and I really never realized this till I see the traffic report on 2 in the morning, that 59 is a very, like, roller coastery up and down stretch of road, especially around, like, Channel 2.
Yeah.
To our station. Well, I'm flying, and I'm going home, and there's thank God there wasn't a whole lot of traffic, and I go on one of the down ones, and there's standing water, and I hydroplane, and I started sliding across two lanes, and I'm like, oh, I need tires.
I do, too, in the front. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie.
Freaked me the hell out. So I'm getting a lot of support for my comments and my take on the fact that I could use someone else to be Dusty Baker's security blanket other than Brooks Raley.
I think a lot of people would agree with that. It's not like it's a crazy take. It's just, you know, and to his defense, you can only use the guys that you have on the roster, you know, unless you want to send them down. I mean, after seeing that game, I'd probably make the argument that Brooks Raley belongs in Japan somewhere, but
that's where he came from.
But, I mean, who else are you going to get right now?
Well, but here's the other thing, Nick. Because the guy, one of the guys that was trying to have a serious conversation about it said he's perfect for Minute Maid Park, which I don't quite understand. But then followed it up by saying there's 27 or 28 other teams that would love to have him. Well, he came from Japan, and all 27 or 28 of those teams had a fair, if not better, shot at him than the Astros did, and no one signed him. So therefore, I think it's more like, hey, they were trying to uncover a hidden gem or maybe rediscover someone that might still have something left in the tank. But don't give me the BS that all the teams in baseball are clamming to get their hands on Brooks Raley.
Yeah, they're probably not. I mean, there might be some pitching coach out there that really wants to work with someone like that who's deemed a prospect or someone who he feels like he could improve. I do see like pitching. I've heard of pitching coaches that really want to work with random baseball players because when they do that, they can really take credit for what they've done in terms of improvement, but I don't know how much you can improve regardless of the pitching coach with Brooks Raley. I mean, you already got Strom working with him, so I don't know what else you could do. Not that Strom is the only pitching coach on the planet, but his reputation is certainly there. And so I don't know what else you can do in that situation other than adjust the roster. So, I mean, that moment sucked because when I saw him come out, I'm like, I don't know if this is the situation. I don't know if he's going to be ready for this type of situation. And he wasn't. Either that or he just didn't perform in that particular game.
Look, you've got another lefty now. He used to be the only lefty, so I get it from that aspect, too. If Dusty's going to go and he knows there's a couple lefties coming up in the lineup, he was the only guy that he could go to. Now you've got Taylor back, and Taylor looks like he's looked fairly strong since he came back from his rehab at Sugarland. And so, you know, in time, I would hope that Taylor's a guy that throws a little harder, that might have better stuff, that you can go to. But you look at the entire situation and say, look, there's still a glaring need for bullpen help. And they're grasping at every straw. So I'm not mad that they took the flyer when they did last year on Raley. You know, but we've seen them take these flyers before. That's before last year when the team was just hovering around 500. This year, and as you alluded to earlier in the program, when your offensive numbers are through the roof and top five in almost every statistical category, and in most cases one or two, and then you look at the starting pitching and the efforts that you're getting consistently over and over again, you realize for all the people that want Max Scherzer or all the people that want a closer, Ryan Pressly's just fine when you get to him. It's getting to him and bridging the gap between starter and Pressly. So if that's the case, a week or so ago, we went over a couple of relief pitchers that are out there that could be had on cheap contracts. You should be turning over every stone on every cheap contract or every good relief pitcher with a cheap contract on a bad team because this is another chance to go for it. You didn't know if it was going to be that good this year when we came into it. We knew how bad the Texans and the Rockets were, and we were like, God, the Astros might not be good either. There were so many question marks.
Yeah.
Now, all those have been answered, and you're like, okay, you got a legit shot to go for it again. Don't get conservative now.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a good point that you bring up because that might be a part of the mentality adjustment late mentality adjustment in the fact that, yeah, they expected them to be good, but did they expect them to have the run that they're having right now? Maybe they didn't because of the pitching. But now that they are winning games, maybe their mentality in terms of addressing the bullpen changes a little bit. I don't know. I do think when your team is winning, it does change your approach in terms of adjusting the roster and what you actually need. I mean, if this team had, you know, 20 games less in the win column, I don't think we'd be having these discussions. But now that we are, now it makes sense. And I think they'll do it. I think they'll do it. I forgot on that ESPN.com article, there were a couple of names that we mentioned in terms of relief pitchers that could be brought to the table. And they did have some favorable contracts. And it doesn't seem like the Astros are completely terrified of breaking that threshold in terms of the budget. So,
and
why not? I mean,
you're right, because you know what? In those cases, we were giving you contracts at $3 million or less. for at least one more year of team control, or for at least the rest of this season, and then become free agents, which means you have to give up less to get them. So they were conducive to the Astros exploring going out and getting him. Here's the other thing that one of our listeners totally gets, and why I was saying what I was saying with Rayleigh and what I've said on the air. Why is it that every time Dusty goes to the pen, whoever it is walks the first batter that they face? I don't know if they're not getting loose enough in the pen. I don't know if it's because they're rushed because all of a sudden he's calling late. I don't know if it's just they can't mentally focus. But it used to be that you could say, oh, it's Abreu. Oh, it's Paredes. It's guys that are younger that still have to kind of get a grasp on everything. But instead, it's guys that you expect to come in throwing strikes from the get. Now, they make a hit, and they might not have, in the case of Rayleigh, might not have overpowering stuff. But at least I expect him to throw strikes. I don't expect him to start walking guys. And for the last couple weeks, that's been another staple. When the bullpen doesn't go deep, I mean, when the starters don't go deep, when the bullpen comes in most cases, before they start settling down, they're walking a guy or two, putting runners on base.
I'd have to look and see what they were doing in that particular game against pitchers. Maybe they're having a good game. Maybe they weren't. But if it's always that first batter when that bullpen pitcher comes out, then I didn't notice that, but maybe there's something in regards to that particular player. It just happens to be every time. But I don't know. If it's really every time, then, yeah, I can see why you would at least have a question about it at the very minimum.
409 says, it's not even that Dusty keeps going to Rayleigh to begin a clean inning, but he prefers to bring him in with runners on base, and he always lets them score. He's statistically one of the worst in the league in allowing inherited runners to score, but yet Dusty keeps going to him. He said, it's the definition of insanity. Yeah, and it's the definition of an ass clown on Twitter when you disagree with me. So that's as simple as it is. You're either with us or against us. If you're against us, hey, all bets are off. I can only tell you to wear a helmet. That's the way we're going to go at it, because Nick and I are throwing, we're going to dot you up, and we're throwing above the shoulders. That's the way we do it around here. 100 miles an hour, sometimes. All right, we've got lots more to get to. We've got NBA playoff stuff to talk about. We got the fact that the Rockets, I guess, are seriously considering all options with the number 2 pick, including trading it, which I told you would be absolute lunacy, but that's a possibility, evidently. I heard Charlie talking about the controversy in Portland with the selection of Chauncey Billups. Lots of things to uncover as we get going. It's always involving you. So if you guys want to get in here, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line for calls and texts. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitch and on Twitter. We're here for you, and we're here all the way till 4. So plenty of good stuff ahead right here on the Press Box.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, keep rolling on. Half hour into the program. Shout outs to our Twitchers. I'm a little tardy, but of course, Crystal and Big Clarence and Dre and everybody that always checks us on a daily basis. We appreciate you. As we continue to get into the crux of the show, Nicholas, we touched on Astros from the jump, and I'm glad to see that people with clear minds and very intelligent thinking agree with me in terms of the bullpen. Now, we'll get back to the Astros, and again, I mentioned now is a chance to continue to get fat and happy because you can play the Orioles this time at home, and as Bagwell kind of eloquently put, they have a TBD for their pitcher for tomorrow night. And he's like, and no one wants to draw the straw to even take the chance to take the mound, to take the take on this team, because the Astros are that good offensively. And we never really got to what we thought about Baggy in the booth. I love the insight from a player's perspective, the stuff you don't get anywhere else, because obviously Blummer has been in the booth long enough now and had training and things right, to where he's more on analytics and Twitter and stats and things like that. Baggy gives you that just that raw, really, that Hall of Fame player's perspective of his playing days. Like, even when he said, I mean, really? You hit a ball 420 feet, but it was caught for an out, and guys want to give you high fives, fist bumps, and dap? He's like, I ain't doing all that. It's an out.
Yeah, I'm not doing all that either.
I loved that. There was a lot of good stuff. Now, some people take a little bit of an exception with the fact that everything is we and us.
Oh, yeah, that's a big deal.
But he's still, I believe, on their payroll as a consultant. So technically it is we and us.
I think he could always say we and us. You're talking about Baggy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be able to say
I
that.
I would think so, too. I got no problem with that.
My whole thing, my whole take, and I think I touched on this last week, is that if you are someone who's not from Houston and does not know who Bagwell is or did not grow up with Bagwell, I can see how from the outside looking in, you don't appreciate his broadcast, right? Maybe not so high on the energy. I'm not big. I'm tired of everybody saying high energy, like, not every time you hear a broadcaster talk in high energy makes it a better show. That's just my personal opinion, but it's also a preference thing, so I can understand that. But if you're someone who's from Houston and you grew up here and watched him play, I think you appreciate everything. I think if you don't even care, like if you don't, like if you're really objective and you don't care about the fan perspective thing, then I think you can still appreciate someone like Jeff Bagwell for the reason that you mentioned, the player perspective, the fact that he can tell you how to look at things as a former player. And I think there's a lot of baseball players that appreciate that type of commentary, regardless of where you're from. But I can see how if you're outside, you're from outside of Houston, that you don't necessarily appreciate what he does. But all of Houstonians should.
But if you're a baseball fan, you're right. But if you're a baseball fan and you take the time to actually listen to everything, like his hitter's mentality, when he's talking about if a guy's doing that to you and he's pitching it on that side of the plate and he does that the first time, then you should absolutely be thinking the next time it's going to be right there. Or if he can't get that breaking pitch over the plate, that's all I'm thinking about, is unleashing on, and it's got to be here. And there's a lot more specifics in examples that he gives, but I appreciate that insight, not on a nightly basis, because I think it would wear on
It'd
you
be
over
too much.
Time. Yeah. But I think that when you do mix it up, and not that I agree with the AT&T has this philosophy that everybody that's on air has to take a vacation in season and miss at least one series, if not two series, during the year. And I don't agree with that, because it's a season. You got a whole off season off for vacation.
Yeah, that's a weird... That's a weird rule. I don't think every team has that rule.
Right. That's why I think if you're going to do what they do, I like the refreshing, different perspective of Baggy that'll kind of break, get away from Blummer's perspective and get into just the homer, the hitter, the Hall of Famer. And then it'll be better when you go back to Blummer again to get into analytics and spin rate and all the different things that he brings to the table. So I think it's if you have to do it, I like the mixing it up with that combination.
Yeah. Well, because there were times, too, that Blummer had to take a vacation, and it was like a series that no one, like, he really didn't want to miss it. And mm-hmm. I tend to agree with him, because I forgot which series it was, and it might have been the year they won the World Series, but he was like, I've got to take that vacation. And so that is kind of a weird rule, but it also, what it does is it keeps the door open for new voices and new talent in the event that something happens, maybe someone has to quit early, retire early for whatever reason. That's one positive. But if you're someone who's so attached to the team, like the broadcast team, like I feel like this broadcast team absolutely loves the Astros so much, from Blummer to Julia to Todd, that they don't want to miss a second. I feel like they don't want to miss an inning. But that's just, yeah. But I don't know. Maybe it is nice to have a series off.
Well, I mean, if they force you to do it, you got to do it.
Right.
Yeah. But I think that, if I had my druthers, even just with this job, I'd rather work than not, especially when there's something like you were talking about. If there's something big to talk about or something going on, I'd rather be here and be the first or, one of the first to be able to talk about it. I think he would probably feel the same way when the team's going good and it's a big series. The other thing is the Astros lead Major League Baseball now that they did this funky way of doing all-star balloting with They did everybody on the ballot electronically on social media and otherwise, and then at a certain point they cut it off and say just the top three at every position. Your Astros have seven that made it to the next round. That leads all of baseball. Let them do that all the way to the game. Go now and start voting and make sure that the majority of these guys get in, because if you think about it, most of them deserve to get in. When you start talking about the likes of the season that Yuli's having and Yordan's having, And you can go up and down the list. Michael Brantley is having. Even Correa is having. And Altuve is having. And you're like, how can you turn the other way and say, yeah, no, I don't think so. No, screw New York and screw the big markets. This is the best team in the American League. They should have seven in this final round of balloting. And out of the final round of balloting, they should have a majority of those players make this squad, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's probably true. And I think there's a player that Charlotte was a Tatis, or is he not? He's not participating in the home run derby
because
that's
of his shoulder. Yeah, well, I understand that.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
It's out there for you guys, and don't lose the opportunity now that you got a chance to vote them in and do your part. You know, pound the ballot box, even though it's electronically. There's no ballot box, but vote. I think you vote 5 times a day. Why wouldn't you? Because this team deserves it. And you know what? And even a guy that I was critical of, I'm going to now turn it around and show you what I can do here. Now that I've forced him to play better by shaming him into his game, I'm going to give him the credit he deserves. This was Chandler Rome's stat this morning.
Yeah.
Miles Straw, since May 16th, Nick, in 141 plate appearances, so a pretty big sample size, he's hitting .328, 13 walks, and 24 strikeouts, 6-for-7 on stolen bases. His numbers are through the roof. And so you give him his props. I tip my cap and say, that's why I've gotten off the fact that one of my top priorities was center field. Between him and Chaz, I now don't have to worry as much about center field, but I have a majority to worry about in the bullpen.
Yeah, Miles Straw, I mean, if he's doing well right now, that's fine. It does, I feel like, make the decision a little bit more hard for... A little bit harder for Dusty, because now you're wondering, is this going to keep up? Like, is he going to go on for the next 141 games? Is he going to be, you know, hitting over 300 and doing what he's doing? That's the big question to ask. I think at this point, if he has those type of numbers over the course of 141 games, mm-hmm. Dusty's always been known as the guy to kind of give you that leash. I don't see him, you know, removing him anytime soon. Now, I don't even know if those 141 games were bad that Dusty probably would have removed him from the lineup. But in this particular case, he's doing well. So, I mean, I think he stays. I think he stays. I think if he's playing well, you keep it going.
Yeah. You know? I mean, and look, again, as you know, it's another hot button of mine that he rests guys when I don't think they need rest. But at the same time, at least he has a more of a luxury that when he decides to go to his bullpen to give starters a rest, that's a problem. At least here now, he's got options when he does sit a guy down that you've got a pretty good player coming up behind that can at least for a day or two. I mean, and even Toro. Garcia, hitting, not his specialty, but
no.
But fielding, he's very, very solid.
Yeah, he's very good. I think he's on point when it comes down to fielding. But, you know, and look, this is all without Alex Bregman because of the quad injury. So...
Well, I'm confident. It's also, like you said, it's also given him the luxury of not rushing him back.
Sure.
Because they've had so many good performances. Now, don't slip up because you're at home and you're comfy and you're not on the road anymore. You got to continue to take advantage of this schedule and pound teams you're supposed to beat and beat the hell out of the Orioles some more. Because they've been taking a pounding. Toronto beat the hell out of them over the weekend. You just step right up and get ready to get your licks back in, because this is a way to get well again. It's not that it wasn't a bad thing, as we talked about, to split with the Tigers. It was fine. But the fact that your run production, which was off the charts against the Orioles, suddenly went way back down, and there was only one good pitcher in the bunch from Detroit, yet you were struggling to score runs. Let's get healthy. Let's get fat and happy and get in there and just eat.
Yeah, I want to see a healthy, the entire squad healthy. Obviously, that's asking for too much. But if those bats stay healthy, Alex Bregman comes back, they add somebody in the bullpen, and those guys stay healthy, man, I want to see a healthy squad going. I want the best chance possible for this Astros squad. Why wouldn't I? So I don't know. And look, Dusty seems pretty open to rest. And, you know, if you want to call MLB's version of load management. So
someone said that maybe Miles Straw picked it up because Chaz was playing good behind him. Whatever the case is, whether I motivated him or Chaz, and I think it was easily either more. It was just, there was no other options. It was either I motivated him because he heard about it, or Chaz motivated him with the way he played. But he did what real men are supposed to do in that situation.
Well, I think they have a good relationship. That's one thing. Because you see him, like, I follow Miles Straw on the gram. Mm-hmm. And I saw him, like, post, you know, Chaz, like, after he had a good game. And he was, like, dancing in the locker, in the clubhouse. And so I think they have a good relationship. Just because in terms of status, they're probably, you know, outside the core.
But no one wants to lose their job. You can be a friend with somebody, sure. But all of a sudden, when push comes to shove,
sure.
I'm still boys with you, but I don't want you taking my gig.
Right, right. But at the same time, they need to have a good relationship, sure. Too, and that's good.
Yep. So that's a really good thing. And, you know, and other people were talking about the fact that, you know, to my point on walks, even Javier walking too many guys this last time. Yeah, but he normally doesn't, but I'm completely with you. He just didn't have his A game yesterday, and that's going to happen from time to time. But that's, again, the reason why I said, just like the whole team, maybe they didn't have their complete A game. And some teams are like kryptonite. Some teams, They might not be the best team in baseball.
But they just match up really well against you. That happens a lot.
So you got that with the Tigers. Don't let it happen with the Orioles. You know, keep doing what you did when you were in Baltimore. Do it here. You stay in first place. You stay with one of the best records in baseball. You do what you're supposed to do. And that's what we had some concerns about, playing to the level of your competition. Hasn't been a problem so far. Don't let it be a problem now. So we've got that to look forward to tonight. Like I said, again, Zach Greinke is going to be on the hill for your Stros. So that should be fun to watch. We've got NBA playoffs coming up next. Let's talk about that. Boy, do you blame the referee for what happened to Trae Young last night? Some do, some don't. I think Trae does. But we'll talk about how that factors into the rest of that series and so much more. But before we hit that, I'm going to talk to you about Fitz Roofing. My boy Corey, who owns Fitz Roofing, he's the vice president of the Houston Roofers Association. You don't get that title unless you're trusted and you're an expert in your field. He is all of those things and so much more. And what he's done is he's constructed a franchise and a business in which everybody comes to him because he has the best warranties, he has the best products, he has the best ratings, and he wants to make sure Houstonians are happy. He knows how a lot of people do business. They're not licensed. They come to you and they want your money in cash up front. They say they're going to do a great job. They're slow or very, very sloppy in the way they do their work. Sometimes you can't even get in touch with them. And then before you know it, you're left holding the bag while they take your money bag and they leave. That's not how Fitz Roofing works. Customer service is top priority. From beginning to end, they are going to take care of you every step of the way. You can check them out at FITZroofing.com. But better yet, you can call them and you can set up a free, no-obligation inspection today. That's right. They come to you. They tell you what they can do. It doesn't cost you a thing. All you do is call 832-521-3001, whether it's a roof for your business or your house or a roof repair or a repairs around the house or maybe a new fence in your yard. They do so many different things that you may not even be aware of, but it starts with that phone call. You call them and they'll tell you what they can do. 832-521-3001, Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Move
over your sound! Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
This sore right now, it's hurting, it's frustrating. Yeah, I mean, it's hurting a little bit and it's sore. I got some treatment on it. I'm going to go get some more in the morning. That's all I can do right now is to get treatment. And then, yeah, when I came back in, it was just kind of sore. And I made me mad. I couldn't really go as fast as I wanted to. And then when I did, it hurt. So just got to get treatment and hopefully it feels better for next game.
Well, that was Trae Young after what was a glorious start to the ball game by the Atlanta Hawks, but a not so glorious finish as they were Chris Middleton. As whether you call him Batman or Robin, Kendrick Perkins, it doesn't matter because you can call him the man who is taking all the big shots in the fourth quarter. And last night he was making them. He scored 20 for the Bucks in the fourth. And I believe the Hawks scored 19. So you do the math. That's a pretty good ratio if one guy's outscoring the entire other team. But Trae Young getting hurt factors in. And if you missed it, after Trae Young was just on a mad tear again because Mike Budenholzer doesn't know how to make adjustments and put in different defensive schemes, in the third quarter, a referee standing in the Sean Wright, the referee standing in the position that he's always supposed to be in, was looking at a play while Trae Young was in front of him. Trae Young slipped a little bit, and as he put his foot back to get his footing, he stepped on the foot of referee Sean Wright and rolled his ankle. He then sat on the floor and waited for Sean Wright to come back down the floor to verbally chastise him. Look, I think there's blame on both sides. The referees stand where they're supposed to stand, where they're instructed to stand, and they practice standing there. However, on the flip side, we all have peripheral vision. Referees are supposed to have great vision to call NBA games. You know when someone is either rolling at your feet or coming to you from the left side or the right side, or especially right at you, to where you can adjust. You can still watch a play in the vicinity, but you can move. I think accidents happen. I don't think it was intentional. I know because he got hurt, that he wants to direct his anger at someone, so he's going at the source of how he got hurt after he slipped, because that's where the source of how it started. But I don't think Sean Wright owes him an apology. I don't think Sean Wright blatantly or vindictively did something to him. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, he didn't want to, like, you know, they don't, referees, some referees, or a lot of them don't want to come off as apologetic. So even though he knew it wasn't his fault, he didn't want to show any, like, sincerity. And to a certain extent, you can make the argument that that's what he's supposed to do if he's going to be objective, right? You don't want these referees to be too close with the players, right? A lot of players get accused of, you know, talking to the referees too much and then getting, you know, a little too friendly and getting calls that they perhaps shouldn't get. But the other thing is, one of the things that basketball players do in practice is they understand that there's not that much space behind the three-point line on the sides of the courts between the three-point line and the out-of-bounds line, obviously. Line, yeah. And so they practice, you know, situations where there's plays in the corner and making sure that they keep their foot in line. There's practices where, in the situation like KD, who, if that three-pointer was made and his foot wasn't on the line, they practice situations like that. But at the same time, that ball was gone and it left his hand. And then he moved his leg back and he stepped on the referee's foot. So it was a very unfortunate situation. And the way it turned out to the outside, kind of, just, it's not, that tweak does not feel very good. I didn't know how bad it was, but
he was wearing ankle braces.
But that only does so much, right?
We don't know, because we say all the time, there are certain injuries that we look at and go, it didn't look like that should be anything.
No.
It turns out to be a big deal. Now, thanks to our boy Joe on Twitter and Shams Terania, Trey Young has a bone bruise to his right foot. He's questionable for game. He's going to play.
He's going to play. If it's just a bone bruise, he's definitely going to play. He called it bad luck. This is more from the post-game presser.
It sucks, but knock on wood, but all my injuries have been because I've stepped on somebody's foot. And it's been a tough thing that I've had to deal with, but I've just got to be more mindful of where people's feet are. And, I guess I got to have eyes behind my head now. Watch the out-of-bounds line for these refs. So it's got to be better, and, it's just a crazy accident.
He kind of owned it, and then he kind of didn't.
He kind of didn't. He still kind of blamed it. He's like, now I got to watch out for these refs. And look, I mean, I don't know if that was necessarily a blame or a genuine statement, because maybe he does. And the last thing you want him to do is be distracted. Well, is there a ref behind me? I don't want to step on his ankle. I don't think he's really going to be thinking like that. I mean, playoff games are too intense for you to sit there and worry about it. I bet you from the outside looking in, Sean, the referee, what's his name? Sean Wright? Maybe if he's out at home watching that game, he's like, yeah, maybe I could have stepped to the side a foot, or maybe stepped to the left, stepped to the right, you know, a foot or foot and a half, and maybe that wouldn't have happened. And maybe going forward, he's a little bit more, you know, he pays more attention to that. But at the same time, he's also reffing a playoff game, which the intensity is crazy. He probably at that point got yelled at by like 16 or 17 NBA players for bad calls that they thought that they didn't get. So I don't really blame the referee. I just think it's a bad luck situation. Similar to if a player accidentally steps on another player's foot. We've seen it time and time again. I think it was Paul George or Kawhi who stepped on somebody else's foot. It was like, was that a dirty play? No, Paul George didn't know that guy was going to step on his ankle and twist it that way. It just happened.
There
that
are
way.
Guys like Bruce Bowen that, you know, had that kind of intention.
That guy sucks.
Yeah. When it's referee that was just standing there,
it's
hard to place the blame on him. Now, I understand from Trey Young's perspective that he wants to go at somebody because he realizes how important he is, just like the entire city of Atlanta does. Without Trey Young, they got no shot. With Trey Young, they obviously have a legit shot because he's proven in these playoffs he can carry a team and he can do a whole lot of good offensively. And they need that. So without him, they got no shot. Milwaukee got the home court back by winning in Atlanta. Now they are in the position of strength going into game four, and they could really basically put a stranglehold on the series if they win the next game. That's why he's going to play. And then you go from there. I still don't think Milwaukee's a very good team. I don't care. Everybody's spending all this extra time about Kendrick Perkins' comments, your guy, in terms of Chris Middleton is really Batman. And Giannis is Robin.
Oh, yeah, I heard those comments, yeah.
Greeny, look, listen. And then, you know, he'll backtrack that, and he'll spin it about six different ways. They're on the same team. To me, it shows maturity in Giannis in realizing, I can do all the things that I do to get, look, the numbers are good. But if I realize my shortcomings right now, not to say that I'm not going to try and fix them in the offseason, but for this team to maximize as far as we can go, Chris, and he said so after the game. I don't care what you say and how you say it, but if Chris is hot and says, give me the ball, I'm giving him the ball, as you should. So you don't have to go to the line, and you don't have to get embarrassed airballing a three.
Oh, my God, that airball of the free throw. And credit to, first off, credit to Giannis for recognizing that, because that's a part of greatness and doing what great players do. Mm-hmm. But, my God, give him John Lucas's phone number immediately. What was that, dude?
The other thing. You can see it when there were two different cases where Middleton had the ball and he was getting doubled in the one in the backcourt, one right after he crossed midcourt. And he was going to pass because he saw one of his guys open and he realized it was Giannis and he pulled it back. That's also smart basketball. And if Giannis gets his feelings hurt on that, which he didn't, I hope.
I don't think
that's on him, because until he can prove that he can make the free throws. And the other thing that's interesting to me, Nick, is in the NBA two-minute report a couple games ago, when you heard the fans counting in Brooklyn, and they were at 12 and 13, they said there were two times they should have called the 10-second rule. Well, the referees also can't fall victim to the fact that every time he's at the line, the fan count is going to hit at least 10.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's an accurate 10 seconds.
Correct, yeah.
So don't buy into that. But there's no doubt that gets into his head. You can tell that every time they start counting, it's playing mental high. It's playing games with his dome piece.
Yeah. We got to get into this other game, too. Obviously, the Suns are playing tonight, but I want to get back into their last game, because outside the fourth quarter, that was a terrible ass game.
Right?
What was the score? They both scored in their 80s. Not a good game, but the fourth quarter made it a little bit interesting. We can talk a little bit about that.
I saw the stat the other day. Did you see that? With 12 times they had a chance to take the lead in the fourth quarter, and they missed all 12 shots, the Clippers. That's awful.
Especially in the fourth quarter.
Suns weren't that much better either.
No, they weren't.
At least my man Book took his mask off like I asked him to.
But he still had a bad game, and he didn't have another. I mean, it was better, but it wasn't as good as both. They had that tandem, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, had two bad games back-to-back. So
now,
I'm assuming they're gonna come out strong tonight.
At home. As much as I take all the credit in the world for resurrecting Miles Straw and Kyle Tucker, I also was worried because the minute he took the mask off, he took a shot to the face, and I was like, oh, that's on me. All right, we've got one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show comes up next. It's the Press Box on ESPN.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.